Welcome to Spirit Talk
with Syl and Jay. Welcome to Spirit Talk. I'm Syl.
And I'm Jay.
Welcome back. Today, we are going to talk about meditating, grounding. We're going to start out with that, actually, and then we'll go into some other stuff. Meditating is very important on a daily basis. What do you think? Like 10 minutes minimum?
Absolutely. Meditation is essential, at least every day. And when I remember, you know, being in class and the instructor asking all the class who meditates. And I remember not raising my hand because I thought it was actually physically sitting down like you see on TV and in magazines of people crossing their legs with their hands up in the air while they're sitting down. Meditation is anything that silences your mind and focuses on like one thing, like driving, watching TV, things of that nature, because you're focusing on one thing. Quiet time, silence.
Quiet time, yeah.
Is the best, I feel. Being out in nature, and I would say 20 minutes minimum, 40 minutes maximum every day of meditation, whether you do it all at once or you split it up and do two 20-minute segments every day. I think anything more than that can be too much.
Well, another thing about how to meditate, as far as grounding, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you do it?
So when I was in Holistic Studies Institute, we were taught to sit in a chair with your back straight up, and there's no armrests, so you can't rest your arms, and that usually causes tension. So therefore, I suggest when meditating, no arms, so you can be fully relaxed. Your feet are flat against the ground for being grounded. Your palms of your hands are facing up on your lap, and that is for receiving messages. And there's a prayer that I usually say before meditating, and that's going and asking for my higher power, archangels, loved ones, ancestors, spirit guides, gatekeepers, chemists, and teachers of the highest vibrationals to come through to help guide me in my meditation and to help with your wisdom, your knowledge, clarity, confidence, strength, and protection.
Yeah, it's important that you get protected.
Yes. And one of the things I usually ask for from my higher power is I ask for the white light of love and protection. And I take about 5 seconds to visualize myself with my eyes closed and visualize being surrounded by white light. And how I used to do it for about 5 seconds. And how I used to do it is I used to picture myself in the center of the sun. And the sun was completely surrounding me. And I would visualize that for about 5 seconds.
Yeah, minus the heat.
Correct. Yes.
So I noticed that sometimes you hold something in your hands or you wear a necklace.
Yeah, so for different protections, I wear bracelets. Sometimes I wear necklaces. And a lot of times I hold certain crystals and stones in my hand, which we can get into later on when we have all the descriptions mm-hmm. and stuff in front of us. I only know, some of them, but I also am starting to really learn them by feeling, because what your left hand does is receive. And so your left hand is receiving hand, and I place a crystal or a stone in my left hand and I close it and I feel all the energy while my eyes are closed and I did my opening prayer and I pay attention to what my intentions is for whichever stone that I'm holding and receiving what I'm getting from it, whether it be images, symbols, signs, stuff like that. So a lot of times I hold clear quartz, and that absorbs like any kind of negativity. Doing this kind of line of work in this subject, you know, is we tend to absorb a lot of energies, attachments, especially being an empathic sensitive and absorbing other people's energies and their attachments. So it's pertinent that we cleanse ourselves often. And some of that is like what I do is I smudge. I use incense, white sage. Depending on the energy and how I'm feeling, a lot of times if I feel like there's a dark entity or I'm sensing something heavy, I'll use frankincense. Frankincense, I feel, is one of the heavier protectants against low vibrational entities, negative energy, that kind of thing, negative thinking. As you would refer it to as spiritual
warfare?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that going on in the mind. So meditation is highly recommended. It silences the mind, it calms the mind, and helps us to see things clearly.
That's when you get the most messages, is when your mind is clear.
And calm, mm-hmm. Yes. You're open to receive messages. You ask for the white light of love and protection. You ask for your guidance, your guides, your loved ones, ancestors, even archangels, to help guide you, direct you, and assist you with this meditation. And always ask for the white light of love and protection. That keeps you safe and protects you from negativity coming in or penetrating.
And then you focus on whatever, whether you're listening to meditation music or if you're outside in nature, birds chirping or a brook or some kind of water or something, you focus on, or you're breathing.
Yeah, so a lot of people have a hard time, and I've heard a lot of people say to me, you know, Jay, I can't meditate. You know, I have ADHD, I have ADD, whatever. I was never diagnosed with ADD or ADHD. I was diagnosed with PTSD, anxiety and panic. So I was never tested for ADD or ADHD, so I can't diagnose or anything like that. So I know when I first started meditating, my mind wandered, and I would see a bubble. And I would get so excited, and in my mind, I would go chasing the bubble. Like, ooh, bubble. So we had to learn to, like, let those things go. And it's like an onion. Think of it kind of like an onion meditating. Like, you're peeling away layers. Because the ultimate goal is, even for just a split second, seeing the white light. That's like source. Mm-hmm. And that's clarity. That's like the highest consciousness. So even if you can just see it for a split second, some people it takes years to see it. Some people see it right away. Everybody's different. The key is to just relax, feel comfortable. Even there's tons of on YouTube guided meditations with music. Some people find it, you know, nature is wonderful. Being out in nature, listening to all the natural sounds and absorbing.
I love that. It's your neighbors that you have to watch out for, because if they're outside and they're doing stuff or you overhear things, then your mind starts wondering, oh, what's going on over there? Mm-hmm. So if you do have a backyard and you don't really have a lot of things going on, then that's the best place for you. And just kind of sit there and just let everything go.
Yeah, so being outside is tremendous. You're away from people, places, things. It's quiet. That's the whole key of this, is quiet time and being away from all the outside noise and distractions and having that moment for yourself.
However, when you're outside, it's the best place to be for meditating because of the energy that you get from direct source. It's the direct source. It's from the earth, from your surroundings. Especially the earth, when you touch that ground with your bare feet, that's the best thing you could do. There's a whole book about that, actually many books.
Yeah, so earthing universal mats are great especially in during the wintertime, and you can't get outside and use your bare feet, obviously. So you plug it into the negative, the round circle on your outlet.
Which is the grounding.
And it gives you instructions on how to do it. But it's wonderful, and they suggest doing it for at least 30 minutes a day. It's great with just bare feet, or you can wear socks. It just takes a little bit more longer if you do socks. And I suggest, too, because sometimes the current, you can kind of feel the current a little bit, even though there's a conductive side and then there's the grounding side on it. But I found that every so often I have to raise my foot off just a little bit and then place it back down because it kind of cuts that current for a minute and doesn't feel so strong. So if that happens, yeah, that's all you have to do is just raise your foot for a split second and then put your foot back down.
Yeah, you do feel energized.
Afterwards. Absolutely. You feel kind of like a tingling, like they say in the book that comes with it, you know, it feels like how Earth would feel with bare feet.
Yeah, and if you're outside all the time, it's the most beneficial thing you could do for yourself.
It has a lot of health benefits as well. Mm-hmm. So, and that gets into it with the book that it comes with as well.
Same but with I highly fresh suggest air. It. Yeah, absolutely. They're just breathing the fresh air outside.
Yes, there's nothing like the fresh air or even water. Spirit is attracted to water, candles, scents, flowers, vibrant colors. This is particularly for those who practice mediumship. They're well aware of this, you know, and it's like a conduit. It's for spirit and communication.
Now, as far as meditating, being outside, even if you love to garden, which I absolutely do, I love gardening. Anything that, I mean, it doesn't even have to be flowers. It could be anything. Just doing that one thing, your mind gets clear. And you're actually meditating while you're doing it. So things like that you do, you don't even have to sit and close your eyes. You could just do something like that takes your focus away from problems and basically just relaxes you.
Anything like that. It's very therapeutic. Even weeding, things of that nature. For me, when I weeded with my mother, it was very therapeutic. And I was like in my own, I would go in my own zones when I was doing it. And that's another thing that kind of brings up quickly is when I get people to come to me for readings and they ask me, Jay, what is my purpose in life? And I would say to people, what are your passions? What are you passionate about? What would you wake up in the morning excited to do and feeling passionate about doing? And I think I feel the way I see the world today is a lot of people go out there and they carry out their purpose or their passions, and then it starts turning into work. And then it takes away like the love of our passion because it becomes work.
Yeah, you got to pay attention to that, too.
That's one of the things my grandfather used to say to me all the time. Jay, if it doesn't make you happy, find something that does.
Mm-hmm. That's very important, actually, for anybody. Being happy, doing what you love, and getting paid for it. Whatever that may be.
I feel that as human beings, we spend majority of our life working and working and working and working. And it seems like there's less time to be able to enjoy life and experience it and observe and be adventurous and explore because we're always constantly working.
Yeah, you work, work, work. You can't wait to get home just so you can watch a movie and then go to bed, you know, eat dinner, go to bed, and then do it all over again. And then when it comes time once a year that you want to do something for a week, you go away, it's not enough time.
No, it's almost like you need a week for a week, you know?
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I kind of think about too, is that I wish there was a system out there where people had some kind of system where you worked 3 days and had 4 days off or something like that. You know, and not work the 10, 12, 14 hours a day. It's an 8-hour day.
And your life just goes by so fast because all you do is work.
Yeah.
And you're not having fun.
No.
Now, if it's your passion and you don't really consider it work, that's a different story.
And that's what I feel like life's all about.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. So, Jay, after you wrote that book, you pretty much found out a lot of things about yourself that you didn't know before. Just kind of looking back, and also you had a couple of phone calls during that time, too, towards the end, that really opened your eyes up to something. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, there were some things that shedded light on after I wrote the book. And I feel one of our main purposes here on Earth is to be a generational curse breaker, cycle pattern breaker. I feel, and now I understand, because I didn't really know a lot about my mother's side. She kept a lot of it to herself, and I only touched the surfaces that I knew about, that I was told throughout my whole life. And one of them is, and I kind of think it's funny, but I understand why now it was kept. And I was told throughout my whole life that my fourth generation great-grandfather was the chief of the Blackfoot Indians named White Horse, and that we finally left the Dakotas or whatever, and they wound up where my mother's family established, where they last established. And I come to find out that through, I used 23andMe, and I had a lot of questions. Like, I kept feeling throughout my life that things weren't right, that things didn't make sense. And I was always the wanting to know kind of person. And I was always about, you know, figuring things out, finding things out, things of that nature. So I suggest anybody, whether they're an orphan, they've been adopted, they're in a foster care, they don't know their parents, things of that nature, dig, find out who you are. You know, I feel like a lot of who we are stems from the passages on from our generation or past generations onto us.
That passed on to you.
And we're here to learn lessons and to change. And I personally feel my higher power, I personally feel he's for the good, that he's not about bad. And anything that is bad is not good. Is of a dark, low vibrational entity or
so you're talking spirit. About the spirits? You're talking yes. about the attachments and
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything that is not good is gonna be bad. So it's gonna be, you know, basically. So that comes to love. Like, anything that is done out of love is good. Anything that is done that's not out of love is bad.
Right, and that's one of the things I don't dive into very often and talk about is religions, because I feel like it's everybody's personal choice and decisions on what they are and what they believe in, mm-hmm. and it's not my right or my place to judge or criticize somebody else for the way they believe. Me personally, I was brought up Southern Baptist, and I had a hard time believing everything that was being told in sermons or their scripture, the passages. So therefore, I don't consider myself anything. And I always felt like religions, and this is my own personal feeling and belief, that religions is crowd control as well as molding and molding somebody on how they want them to think. And to me, I want to be able to believe and think freely mm-hmm. and for myself. And therefore, I'm considered a spiritualist because I like a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So I don't, it's whatever I feel resonates with me mm-hmm. and for the higher good mm-hmm. and out of love. Anything dark and evil and bad, I don't consider that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I know that you're a healer, and I know that you heal a certain way. You do Reiki.
Yes, I do have my first degree Reiki. I always felt that I was a natural healer. And we'll get into it another time about past lives. I feel that I have multiple spirit guides that I've been around for a very long time. And we'll get into star seeds and things of that nature as well down the road. So one of my spirit guides, I feel, is Christ. I do feel that Christ was here. He was a healer. He died for us. I don't know the Bible word for word or the messages of scripture, but I have read it and heard it from other people that Christ was a natural healer, a medium, which they used to refer to something else other than a message circle, but basically the same thing, and relaying messages to the people that were there from the other side. And I feel that Christ was a medium as well, because he was the only one during that time that was able to see the devil or the dark side. And so I've always felt that I was a natural healer. And I always had my hands always feel warm. And whatever I touched seemed to heal a lot quicker than was expected. So I took a little Reiki just to understand the different types of healing out there. But I always felt that my hands were natural healers, that anything that I touched would heal a lot quicker. I also learned to send healing to people. As long as I have their picture or I know what they look like, I can visualize them and then send the different colors that represent different things, but the different colors that they needed at the time to be able to help to heal them.
Like green, for instance.
Like green, purple, pink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they all represent
different things.
Different things, yes.
So it's for your chakras.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's another topic as well.
So one of the things I did last year, April, I believe it was, or March, I did a gallery. And I told at least a handful of people that were there 2 weeks prior to the gallery, happening, that there was going to be a woman in this particular chair, and she's going to have left shoulder issues. Mm-hmm. And before the show started, I put a card, one of my cards, and I said left shoulder issues or healing, needs healing. And I put it underneath a card.
Underneath the chair.
Under the chair. Yeah. Folks, I was in a trance. That was one of the first times I ever got into a trance, and it was wild. It was like a Wild West ride. I can't explain it. It was cool. And I got a lot of confirmations afterwards. But anyway, I remember coming to this woman, and I said, do you have, or may I come to you? And she said, yes. And I said, do you have left shoulder issues? And she goes, yes, I do. And I said, would you mind showing the audience the card underneath your chair? And and could you read it out loud for me, please? And she did. And she said, left shoulder issues. And she goes, I do have left shoulder issues. And I said, well, I practice Reiki. It's a non-touch. It can be. And I said, can I have permission to Reiki you for about 5 minutes, placing my hand about an inch from your shoulder, until I felt like it was enough. And I did that. And I remember her coming to me after the show and writing me a big, long, message stating that she was just getting ready to look into acupuncture and chiropractor, and I completely took that pain away from her.
That's phenomenal. Is there any more examples that you'd like to share?
One of my favorite ones is when I first started out, and we were in class, and we touched on the subject of Reiki. And so, therefore, we each had to pair up with somebody and perform, Reiki on somebody. And I was just drawn to this person. I just go where my hands are drawn to. And so I was drawn to her head. And I felt like headache going on. Like, there was a lot of stuff, and I felt like pain going on with her head. And I remember placing my hands and kind of, moving it around. And the heat from my hand tends to,
well, it's energy.
It's energy, and I tend to have broken it up.
Yeah.
And she felt so much better afterwards. And then I remember part of being an empathic sensitive medium, is I'm able to absorb bad or good pains, emotions, behaviors, characteristics, things of that nature. So that's what helps me to be spot on or resonate or and get confirmation that I need. So there was this one woman that came to me probably about 2 years ago. She was having some complications with the doctors or whatever. And she says, the doctors can't find it anywhere. And they checked everywhere, you know, for it. She had some kind of heart thing going on. So, like, again, I'm not a doctor, so I don't diagnose. And I don't have that degree in it. But I kept sensing it was around the heart. And I kept sensing and feeling like they were overlooking something. And I told her, I said, you know, the next time you go to the doctor, ask them to check behind. Because I feel like they're overlooking something. And there's something behind it. I got a call probably about a couple of days later saying she went to the doctors and they found something that was behind her heart that had saved her life.
That is awesome.
So one of the things that I feel like, going back to Christ, I feel like he's one of my spirit guides. I have seven that I know of. But Christ is my main man for healing. Mm-hmm. And that's who I feel that I channel.
When you're healing.
When I'm healing.
Mm-hmm. You know, that reminds me of my father. I know I bring him up a lot. He passed last year, so he was a healer. And he also did that through Christ. And the amount of people he healed, but the love that he had for Christ, it is just phenomenal. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And I looked up to him for that, because I'm also a healer and I've been told many times. So I'm getting ready to take Reiki classes as well. And I'd love to get into that and go even beyond.
One of the biggest things that I feel that people miss on is that God, source, divine, parent, universe, whichever way you want to call it, he was not a religion. I feel God and Christ is love. They didn't have a religion. Love was their religion. So there was no separation of Catholics and Buddhists and Christians. And
we all got it. We all have, well, I can't say for all of them, but it's all about love. It really is.
And that's where I'm having a hard time. Why is there such a separation of all the different religions? I don't understand. I do to a point, but that's my own opinions and stuff. So
without love, there is no God. Without love, there is nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like without light, it's darkness.
So going back to generational curse pattern cycle breaker, I feel the key is to learn as much about yourself as you can. To dig, to become the person that you didn't want to be. Like, in my book, it discusses, and I didn't go into detail with it, because I've truly forgiven my mother, and I know the reasons behind them. I was abused in many different ways. So I didn't want to be like that to my kids. And that was one of the pacts that I made with myself at a young age before my children were even brought in this world. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be the pattern breaker of that. And a lot of it rocked my boat when I got the call after my book was done from my cousin letting me know stuff had happened. And I always suspected that there was something else. And then, you know, the 23andMe really helped me out too in finding out who I really am. And I believe it all comes down to forgiving, to being forgiven, and to be the change. I feel change for the better is huge.
Like, what can you learn from that? Mm-hmm. To change for the better. Absolutely. So what can you tell us about karma?
Karma. Used to hear karma like it's a bad thing, you know. Karma is actually not meant for punishment. It's actually meant for a lesson or a teaching. Yes, what does go around comes around. So if you don't want something to happen, then don't do it yourself. But karma is ultimately meant to be a lesson or a teaching.
Of some sort, yep.
So it kind of goes along the lines of a law of attraction as well. Like attracts like. So if you don't want something done, then don't do it yourself. Or if you don't like something, then don't do it. You know, so that kind of thing. So it's just paying attention to your intuition, knowing what's right and wrong. And
once again, do everything out of love.
Following your instinct.
Yep. So mediums don't really use tarot cards or any of those things. You're directly in contact with the spirit. It's very different for you. Some do use them. I think you do have to be careful, like how much you rely on those things, because you do also want to be connected to the source as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we were taught in class that a true medium doesn't fall back on crutches, such as Ouija boards, tarot cards, candles, things of that nature. That we rely fully on spirit, because that's what a medium is about. And I remember my teacher looking at me specifically when he said, all good mediums have a student, it's called a student trumpet. It's basically like a metal, maybe it's like 3 foot tall funnel. And it's a tool used to ask spirit to communicate with you by asking spirit to move the trumpet. And what I usually do with mine is you have to cleanse it every so often, like smudging it, using white sage or whatnot. I put a piece of paper down. And then I draw a circle, and I leave the trumpet on top of the paper, and I ask spirit to move it. The other way to use one of those is you place the small end towards your ear while you're sleeping, like on a nightstand, someplace where you can't touch it or hit it accidentally. And what spirit does is it communicates through the wide open end, and then you can hear messages and whatnot through the other end.
Okay. Also, what are all the other... I know Ouija boards do not use those. They're definitely
I've always been scared of Ouija boards. Oh, I've heard a lot of stories about them. I never tempted with them.
Yeah, I would not recommend that and at all.
A good thing is that a psychic can't see in their own backyard. Mm-hmm. So I myself have my own personal tarot cards that I don't read for anybody else. I usually maybe use them like once or twice a year when I get in a jam and I'm trying to figure something out and I need some clarity.
Yeah, it is weird how you can't see in your backyard. So yeah. One thing that I want to bring up is when your daughter passed and you said that you felt something that was going to happen a couple days prior. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so the day right before my daughter's accident, I kept feeling all throughout the day when I woke up that something was wrong with one of my children, and I couldn't put my finger on it, and I didn't know who it was because I have 3 children. But I kept sensing. And during that day, I remember leaving a shipper because I used to drive truck for a living. And I was out over the road, and I saw this white van in front of me swerving in and out all over traffic, and I kept saying to myself, this guy's going to create an accident. He was right in front of me. And all of a sudden, it did. Everything came to a halt. I remember keeping my trailer and everything straight and just tapping him in the back, and it was like a 10-car pileup, if not more. And even after that accident, my truck wasn't too damaged where I was able to keep continuing on down the road. I kept feeling like something was going on. I got back to my terminal to lay down, and about an hour later, I received a phone call from my sister letting me know that my daughter had passed and had told me what happened. And
yeah. So you sensed it, but you had no idea.
Yeah, it just came out of nowhere. And I remember being called things like hyperchondriac. Mm-hmm. Because I would go to the doctors all the time with my heart racing or something going on, and they would hook me up to like EKG machines and all these other different things, and come to find out nothing was going on with me. I had no clue at that time what was going on with me. I didn't even know back then what an empath was, narcissist, blah, blah, blah. I've learned all this stuff since, and within the 9 years that I've been doing this professionally. So I've learned that I was empathic, and I was picking up on other people's pains and problems. And that's how I'm able to relate to somebody when I'm coming to them for a message and relating to how the other person on the other side passed, because I can pick up their emotion. Now, that also brings up another good point, is I don't diagnose because I am not certified as a doctor. I don't have degrees, so therefore I don't have the position to diagnose somebody. Mm-hmm. I use all the time, I'm sensing, I feel, I'm getting pains here, there, whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like it could be caused from. So it's not coming out and diagnosing somebody. But these are the things that I'm picking up.
So there's a couple of things I want to bring up. One of them was the Chinese lady.
This is one of my favorite stories. Now, I get a lot of people say, do you remember what you told me? I've read for so many people, I don't remember what I told you, and I don't remember what happened. So, but this is my favorite one, and this stood out to me a lot. When I just started doing this and I was going through school, somebody had a house party, and there was probably about six or more people there. And I read for this one Chinese lady, and I said to her that I was getting her mom, and she said that her mom passed. And then I said, you know, forgive me, I don't understand. I don't speak Chinese. I don't know what I'm saying, so please help me, you know. And I remember telling her, I said, all of a sudden I kept getting this word over and over and over again, and it was in Chinese. And I said, this is the word. And she goes, oh my gosh. She started crying. She goes, my mom used to call me that when I was a little girl.
Wow. Yeah, that's a tearjerker right there. Now, that was another one too.
Oh, the one about the coworker. That was my favorite. That was one of my favorite ones too. So when I was in school, I kept getting, spirit literally pushes. Like they can be pushy. So I remember getting a nudge, and the teacher just got through saying how spirit can be pushy. And I'm like, yeah, right, you know. So I was still a little skeptical of myself. And all of a sudden I kept getting this push. And this guy was kind of, I worked for a construction company at the time, and this guy was kind of big, and I was kind of a little intimidated by him and stuff like that. But I remember kept getting this push. And then on my way to the guy, I kept asking the spirit question, okay, who are you? You know, and I kept getting like an M name. I kept going M, M, M. And then all of a sudden I got Margaret. And Margaret was coming through. And I said, okay, Margaret, how are you related to this person? So this is as I'm walking to the person. I'm asking inside my mind, okay, how are you related to this person? So she told me grandmother, and I believe it was on the mom's side. And I said, whatever his name was, and I said, I have a message from you, you know, would you like to receive it? And he goes, yeah, sure, yeah, you know, macho, you know. So I said, I'm getting a grandma from mom's side, and I'm getting an end name like a Margaret. And he goes, oh my gosh, you know, he started flipping out. And he showed me the tattoo on his arm, and it was Margaret. And it just led into other things like, this is the message for you, and blah, blah, blah. But it was very, oh, yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, wow. And then he goes, now do this person and that person. And I'm like, spirit doesn't work like that, you know. So they have free will too. And they come when they want to. And like John Edwards, my mentor, I love this guy, besides my own teacher. I remember him saying that a lot of people expect, or, you know, expect somebody from the A-list. You know, they're wanting to really hear from. And that doesn't always work in. It's like, I remember John saying something like, you know, maybe a mother-in-law will come in, you know, so instead. So don't expect, you know, the person that you're looking forward to, yeah, to come through. There's usually other messages. A lot of times I get bombarded because somebody has, like, I call it an audience, like an audience of a large amount of people up in the spirit world that want to come through for them.
Like an Italian family. Like, yeah.
So I have to tell them, like, you know, okay, one at a time, please, you know. So, and I have to slow down the messages. But, yeah, so it doesn't work like that all the time. If spirit wants to come through, they'll come through. If they don't, they won't. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of times where a spirit will come through just to say hello. And that's all they do. Or show me a symbol, you know. I feel grandma's here. I just saw a butterfly. So...
Yeah, I do believe that sometimes they come through just to say that they're there. And that's it. And they leave.
Just coming, passing by.
And it might not be the person you're looking for. You know, maybe there has been 5, 6 different people that have passed and only one of them's coming through. And it might not be the same person. So, but that's okay.
And every reading's different. Every reading's unique. You never know who's going to come through. You never know what's going to be said. And... there's a lot of times where people don't understand what I'm saying, and then I get confirmation later on down the road, you know, now I know what you mean. I don't always know what I mean. We were taught to give what we get, and we were also taught not to do doom and gloom. And just real quickly on that, what I mean by that is, for an example, if I see somebody falling down the stairs, I will say to that person, please be careful the next day or two or whatever, however long I'm feeling, to be careful of stairs or ice or falling out or stepping out in traffic, stuff like that. So I don't do doom and gloom. I give them pre-warnings, you know, like just to be extra cautious and careful.
I do believe that if you say something, then they're looking for that. They're like, okay, this is going to happen. But you can prevent these things. This could be a sign that you need to tell them that, hey, be careful because this could happen. So
to me, readings are a lot like message circles or seances, where a lot of times people expect the psychic to know everything. And that's not, because we'd be considered God, you know, if we knew everything. So true practitioners in this subject matter know when to turn it on and when to shut it off. And I personally don't like to be in that mode all the time because it's very energy draining. And I want to be able to live, quote unquote, normal. Mm-hmm. And not be that way all the
time. All right. So I think it's time for dinner.
That sounds good. I'm hungry.
So just for some of you that are not following Jay Bowers, he is on Facebook and Instagram. Is Jay Bowers Intuitive Medium. And if you like a reading, just message him on there. Also, to purchase his book, he is on Amazon Kindle. And the name is Life and the Struggles of an Extremely Sensitive Empathic Psychic Medium, Jason Bowers. So if you just pop in Jason Bowers, it pops right up, right in the very, very top. Also, you can message him and he can give you the link directly. This has been fun. Until next time.
And have a blessed rest of your week, everyone.
I'm Syl.
I'm Jay. And that concludes today's segment on Spirit Talk. Until next time.